Last September saw the formation of the People's Review of Mental Health. The review sought out people involved in the mental health system in order to present qualitative data to accompany statistics. By the time of its release earlier this month, the review had gathered around 500 personal stories. Based on this information, the review made a number of recommendations to reform New Zealand's mental health system. Advocacy group Action Station is one of the groups involved with the People's Review. I asked spokesperson Marianne Elliott just what they found.
So we found a number of key themes emerged. The first one, and probably the most dominant theme, was people just struggling to access mental health services when they needed them. So those are the people who were told either that they didn't qualify for publicly funded mental health services because they weren't sick enough, people who were unable to access mental health services in a timely manner because the waiting lists were so long, and obviously with some kinds of mental health crises, you know, waiting for a long period of time can really make that situation get a lot worse. And in some cases, people who are unable to access, you know, appropriate mental health care because of where they were in the country. So that was probably the biggest theme, just an inability to access the services that people needed when they needed them. And then the flip side of that was that we got a lot of stories from people working in the mental health service about, you know, their working life being very, very stressful because they were, you know, having more and more demands on the services they were providing and not really having the resources to meet that. So we had these sort of two sides to the coin, one being people not being able to get the services they need and the other being mental health workers feeling sort of overstrained and the frustration of not being able to meet the needs of people who came to them. So that was the big theme, but there were a lot of other really important themes that came through. And one of them is that obviously that big issue about access and resourcing is something that could be addressed with additional funding. And so one of our recommendations was an urgent increase in funding to the mental health sector. But there were other more entrenched problems that we saw that showed up in the stories where people described both actually people seeking mental health services and people working in mental health services described, you know, sort of entrenched attitudes where people were being treated in ways that were, you know, quite dismissive and disrespectful. And that's not necessarily going to be addressed simply by increasing funding. So that's really one of the reasons why we are calling for a review as well as an increase in funding. And the other thing that showed up was people saying there aren't enough choices when it comes to treatment options and that there was an over-reliance on psychiatric medications, sometimes alone without access to complementary therapies, which, you know, which are clinically shown to be really effective. So those were things that some of that might be addressed by additional funding, but there are some other deep-seated issues that probably wouldn't necessarily be fixed just by increasing funding.
So what else would you like to see implemented by the government?
Because we were, you know, conducting a very particular kind of review, which was a qualitative story-based review, that puts us in a position to be able to name some of the themes that show up. But we don't think that what we've done in any way would replace a full, properly mandated, properly resourced inquiry into what is working and what is not working in our mental health system. So that's the second main recommendation. The first one is urgent increase in funding. We have this incredibly overstrained, under-resourced mental health system. The second one is, you know, our review's thrown up some themes, but they need to be looked into properly with a properly mandated inquiry. So the second one is to still have this fully independent inquiry into what's working and not working in the mental health system. And we've also got a recommendation around the need for some what you might call sort of preventative or supportive change in our wider society, wider community through national education. And a lot of work has been done on this. Obviously, we're probably all aware of some of the work that's been done in the last few decades, but there's just still a lot of territory to cover there to sort of raise awareness of an improved understanding of how mental health and wellbeing works. So that's one of our other recommendations. And then the other thing that we're calling for is the restoration of an independent oversight body. So we used to have in New Zealand something called the Mental Health Commission, which provided independent oversight of the entire mental health system. And then that was shut down in 2012. And so one of the things that shows up in the stories that came through to us is that people are having to pursue, you know, individual complaints, which is not a bad thing, that people need to be able to do that. But we don't have a kind of an oversight body that can carry out more proactive or thematic national investigations into issues in the mental health system. So we're saying we need to put that back in place. Ideally, that would take the form of restoring the Mental Health Commission. That would be our preference. But there are some other mechanisms that could be used to achieve that. You could have some designated roles at the Human Rights Commission. You could have mental health commissioners at the Human Rights Commission. You could build the capacity of the Health and Disability Commissioner, where you already have a mental health commissioner. So there's some ways that you could go about doing that, but what's important is that you have some independent oversight of the mental health sector. This morning I read that the Prime Minister has responded, Bill English has responded to the People's Mental Health Report and acknowledged that, you know, that the system is under-resourced and has said that there will be additional funding for mental health, presumably in the budget coming up next month. So I'm really pleased to hear that. That's certainly the most urgent recommendation that we made, but he's insisting that that's all that is needed, and I think it's really important that we just keep reinforcing that although urgent additional funding is needed and will address some of the problems that came through in this review, it won't fix everything, and it's been a long, long time since we've had a proper review of our mental health system in New Zealand, and we need it. People are not getting the care they need. People are, you know, having some really quite tragic experiences in our mental health system. And it's not a criticism particularly of anybody working in the mental health system. It's just something that it's time to have another look at what's working, what's not working. And an urgent increase in funding is great, but it's not enough and it won't solve all the problems.
I also speak with Simon Oosterman from the Public Service Association about what effect this had on people in the mental health system.
9 out of 10 people who work in health feel that they don't have the resource or staffing to provide Kiwis with the care that they need. And in mental health, that means that people are missing out on getting the care they need to get well. We want the government to restore $1.85 billion of underfunding in the health system. The staff aren't overworked for no reason. You know, patients aren't missing out for no reason. It's because the government has not maintained funding with a growing and ageing population and increased mental health need. And we know from very recent statistics from the Ministry of Health, 20% of mental health need is not attributable to a growing and ageing population. In fact, we also know that the number of mental health service users has increased by 60% since 2008, which is a huge amount.
And what do you think is behind this growth?
Well, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, people are definitely talking about mental health more. So I think people are trying to access services more. But the problem is, of course, the additional funding the government's put in just hasn't kept up with that growth. And what that means in reality is that, you know, people are missing out. But the other thing is that you've got to remember the underfunding is not just mental health, it's the whole health system. But what often happens is that when underfunding gets really bad, it's actually mental health services that suffer first. And we've just seen that Mid-Central DHB down in Palmerston North, they've just announced that they're going to close a much-needed youth mental health service so they can pay off hospital-wide deficits. And of course, those deficits only exist because the government hasn't funded them properly.
And how can people concerned about underfunding get involved?
They can jump on our website and sign our petition at yeswecare.nz/petition, and that'll also sign them up to the campaign, and we'll keep them in touch with our campaign to get all political parties to commit to restoring health underfunding.
So that's all the questions I had written down. I guess if you had any final comments you'd like to make.
People who work in mental health really, really care, and the most distressing for them is to see someone who needs care that they can't, yeah, simply because of underfunding. You know, no one goes to work every day wanting to do a crap job. They want to go and help people. And, you know, this is an unprecedented situation where everybody agrees, patients and people working in health and community, that there's a problem. But the government has its head in the sand over this issue, and it's just not acceptable.